This morning, I'm going to share a message. I've just been thinking, you know, we as staff girls have been kind of diving into the New Testament. We're in the book of Galatians right now and feeling really challenged about the Apostle Paul and his life. And so this morning, I want to share a message on a faith worth following, because my prayer for my life, and I hope for your life too, is this, that Lord, I will example a faith that the people coming behind me can take the baton that I leave and go, wow, she left an example and I can keep on going. Amen. And so we're going to dive in today in first Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul said this, follow my example as I follow Christ. That's pretty bold and pretty profound. But what he was saying was, I've given everything, every part of my life to follow the Lord Jesus. I've had a powerful encounter with him. And I can tell you the message of salvation by grace is imperative for humanity. And I just have been sitting in this going, a faith worth following. So the first point I want to say to you, church, this morning is following Christ and having a faith that's worth following means I have to surrender every part of my life. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds, oh yeah, I surrender all. But when the rubber hits the road, isn't it really, really hard? In fact, as we dove into Galatians this week as a team of staff girls, we happened upon this verse in Galatians 2:20, and the Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me when I was at my worst, and gave himself for me. So before any of us accepted Christ, we were loved, truly, truly loved. And the Apostle Paul is saying, it's not I who live anymore. It's Christ in me. You know, a couple of months ago, just thinking about surrendering every area of our life and going, Lord, have your way now in my life. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity, and everyone knows what a Tesla motor vehicle is, right? I had the opportunity to sit in one and it had the self-driving mode in it. Now, I don't know if any of you have been in the self-driving, in a self-driving car before. But anyway, this guy was showing us how it all worked. And he said, now this is what you do. And you just push self-driving and off it goes. You know, there's something really bizarre about not touching the steering wheel, because you don't have to touch the steering wheel, push the self-driving, and you just sit there kind of like this and look out the windscreen. You're not really touching anything. I remember he just said, you know, just try and relax into it. Well, that's really hard, because I want to control where the vehicle is going, right? That's what I've done my whole life. So when I'm sitting there, there's these people going across the road. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope it sees the people. What I came to realize is this thing is pretty darn amazing. I remember thinking, how does it see? I don't know how it works. But this thing was, we put in the destination we wanted to go to, change lanes. Now, here's the tricky thing. I can see that I'm supposed to turn right up here. It's over here in the left lane. I'm thinking, yeah, we want control. I want to just move that. But I'm just sitting there, and amazingly, this thing moves across, turns right. Oh, okay. Changes lanes. Speeds up when the speed limit changes, and I get to my destination. What I learned about that too is you get to your destination a little bit less flustered, because you don't have to, once you've gotten used to it, you don't have to worry about it. This thing is in control. Isn't our Christian life a little bit like that? We go, God, I surrender. Yeah, you have every area of my life. Until you start to think, does God know about this? What's up ahead? Does he know what's going on all around it? I've come to discover he knows everything, because his visual is out here. Mine is just up close and personal. Surrendering our life means trusting, God, you're going to get me exactly where I need to go. And I don't have to worry about it. I just have to relax and just let you lead the way. Matthew says this in the Message translation. Jesus said, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You know, church, it's been 27 years since we moved to the United States. I remember sensing God speak to us and say, yep, that's what I have for you. You guys are going to move to the United States. I remember coming and it just felt big and overwhelming. And those first few years when you're acclimating to a new culture, just trying to get into the rhythm of life here. When you have three little kids who are like, when we grow up, we're going to move back to Australia. Oh, guys, don't you love it here, right? You know, 27 years later, our kids are grown. They're all married. They're all living here. They're loving life in the United States. I'm loving life in the United States. I'm very grateful and very thankful for where God led us to. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I was sitting around our Thanksgiving table. I was just looking at our family, our kids, their spouses, grandkids, and something struck me. You know, when we surrender our lives and we're trusting God, there's hard moments in that. And yet being obedient and surrendering and going, Lord, I'm trusting you and I'm following your lead. I realized 20-something years later, even though I was consumed with God, this is so hard for me. It just, that God was looking down the track at my grandkids. You know, we get all caught up in, what about me? What about me? What's this going to matter for me? I want to encourage you. Your surrender and your obedience means that children, children's children, or you might sit there and say, well, I don't have any kids. It doesn't matter. There are people watching you and following you. Your act of obedience has a ripple effect that goes beyond, beyond, beyond. I want to encourage us all in 2026. May we surrender it all. May we trust him and may every area of our life, maybe there's some areas where we're going, well, I don't know, God, I don't know. My prayer is, let's go for it. Let's give him everything we have. Second thing is, in following Christ, I need to get to know him. You know, I've been a Christian a long time, pastoring a long time. And I still discover when I'm in the Word, like I was saying, our staff girls, we were in the book of Galatians. And, you know, we're kind of just sitting in a chapter at a time. We've done books of the Bible before and we've done a couple of chapters at a time, but this time we're just taking it a little slower. And we're just sitting in the chapter and kind of just peeling back the layers of, you know, what's Paul really saying here? And can I tell you, there's been like explosions going off in my head where I've gone, wow, I've never looked at it and seen it like that before. And church, I want to encourage you, let's be students of the Bible for a lifetime. Let's get to know him. Let's not just check off a scripture. Hey, if we're memorizing scripture, that is awesome. But let's sit in those scriptures. Let's ask some questions. Hey, God, what is your word actually saying here? You know, in our kids, shout out to our brilliant kids pastors and leaders around all our campuses. But we are doing Bible buddies this year, and all the kids get a little buddy, little stuffed animal, and they get to read the Bible with their buddy. And I've seen a few photos of parents, you know, sharing, hey, this is our kids. They're reading their Bible this afternoon with their little buddy. And I just love it. I love seeing kids just get excited about reading the Word of God. But moms and dads and grandparents and all our singles, let's all be excited and passionate about being in the Word. Now, I get it. You know, some of you are in toddler land or baby land, and it's like, I don't have a minute to spare. And I get it because I've been there, and it feels overwhelming, or there's so many sports happening, and you're busy. Life is busy. But to have a faith worth following, we have to be in the Word. And I would just say to you, if you're driving to work, get the Bible on audio, listen to the Word of God, listen to a devotional, read a devotional, because as much as I love that your kids are in the Bible, may they see that you're in the Bible. A faith worth following means they're going to follow your example. For all our young people and young adults, there are young people and young adults that are watching your example. Give them a faith worth following. Get excited about chatting and talking about the Word of God. You know, years and years ago, Steve's mom and dad grew up in a church environment. And it doesn't really matter what it was, because it could be any church. You know, you could come and sit in and go, okay, I did church today. But then Steve's dad encountered Christ powerfully, powerfully. And it changed everything about he and his mom. His mom did too. And I remember Steve said he went to a men's kind of gathering retreat with his dad. And his dad, people had to come up on the whiteboard and just write down things about what they were feeling God was saying to them. And Steve's dad walked up to the whiteboard and said, I can no longer hide from you. And in that moment, what transpired was, this was a man who was living with some addictions in his life. And he got to the place where he knew Christ personally and realized, Lord, you have access to every area of my life. And so after that, there were conversations about areas in his life. He got the help he needed, and he went on to live an incredible life where he began to help people that were struggling with addictions. What I love about when the Word of God illuminates our hearts, it shows areas where we can go, okay, God, I've surrendered it all. You have access to it all. And now that I know who you are, I know I'm not condemned. I know I'm saved by grace. I know you have a great purpose in life and in the future for me. I want to access that, and I want to live free. And we watch Steve's mom and dad live free from all that stuff. You don't have to be bound up in addiction. You don't have to hide, but you can live free. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, listen, he was raised as a Jew, and he persecuted Christians, watched them be killed, thought he was doing the right thing. And then he has a powerful encounter with Jesus and realizes Jesus is the Messiah. All these years, and everything about his life changed. My prayer for you, powerful encounter with Christ. May his word be illuminated in your heart in a way that it never has been before. I think that one is the top of my list, in Jesus' name. Last point, number three. Following Christ means to keep my eyes heavenward. Now, you know what? That doesn't mean my head, I'm living in the clouds, because you know what? There's a lot going on in our world. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm 22. What are you talking about? You're older. Are you saying the finish line? No, I'm saying run your race and be in your lane, and don't, you know, sometimes we get dragged over to this lane. Well, that lane looks a little bit better. Or I don't know. I don't know if I can finish my race. I don't know about all this stuff. It just feels so overwhelming. I want to encourage you and challenge you. As I spoke to a woman this week who is doing pastoring, and it's getting hard. And I said, remember who called you. Remember, all of us as believers, we are called. We are chosen. We are loved. And we have been kept. The Bible says in Jude that we have been kept. It's not an accident that we've arrived here. God is working on our behalf. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul said this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of you are sitting here, well, I don't think I'm going to be dying soon, especially if you're one of our young people and young adults. Shout out to you guys. Also young families. And I don't believe that's necessarily what he's saying. What he's saying is my focus is Christ alone. He says, I press on. In other words, there's going to be things that happen. It's going to be hard, but I am pressing. I'm not just casually walking through this life. No, I'm following your lead, Lord Jesus. You know, I understand there are things that happen that just don't make sense at times. A couple of years ago, our son Sam and his beautiful wife, Laurie, delivered a little baby girl at 14 weeks. You know, Laurie had lost her older sister. Her older sister passed away a year or two before that. It just felt like this tidal wave of stuff happening. And I remember being sent a picture of Sam. You know, they delivered this little baby in labor and delivery. This little baby, this 14-week-old, they put the baby in the crib. And I saw a picture from behind of Sam just his hand on his hip and his other hand on his face, just looking into that crib. and just not understanding what's just happened. And church, as I looked at that picture, it wasn't why God, it was Lord, I know your heart breaks with them. I know, and I know you're right there in the middle of it. And maybe right now you're facing heartbreak. And maybe you're wondering, I don't even know, 2026, I thought would be better. I thought it would. And there are things that have already started to happen. Friend, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because earth side, we're probably not going to get a lot of answers. But don't exchange what you don't understand for who Jesus is. In that moment, as I saw Sam standing there, in my mind's eye, I knew the Lord was standing right there with them. He's with you, church. He's with you through every season. You know, years ago when I was a little girl, there used to be an organization called Little Athletics. And every Saturday, all these families and kids would come and you'd do all kinds of sports. A lot of them were races, you know, 100-meter, 200-meter hurdles, shot put, high jump, the whole deal. And my favorite was the 100 meters, and I was good at it. But here's the thing. I started winning, and then I put pressure on myself and thought, and so every week my stomach would be in knots and as the, in the lead up to this race. No one put pressure on me, just me. You know, and then we'd go to, you know, if you were good, you'd go to other track meets and you'd race against people who were phenomenal. But here's the thing, church. Somewhere along the line, I lost my confidence. I got discouraged. I put too much pressure on myself to be perfect. And you know what? Living the Christian life, we're just not perfect. And so I ended up taking myself out of that race. And, you know, years later, I would be in high school and we would do the same thing. We would have athletic carnivals at school. And I'd sit on the sideline and wish I was down there. But you see, I let discouragement, I let perfectionism, I let just these overwhelming pressure that I put on myself to, I didn't have to win. I just had to stay in my lane and run my race and enjoy the journey. Now, as I look back, I wish I could say to that little girl, get back out there. Just go for it. Give it everything you've got. I believe that's what God says to us. Get in your race, stay in your race, stay in your lane, give it everything you've got and have joy in the process. Here's the thing. My dad played professional level sports. So church, here's the thing. It was in my DNA. What I didn't understand was it was in my DNA. I was going to be athletic in some way because it was in my DNA. And I want to say to you this morning, you have the DNA of the kingdom of God. You may feel like it's overwhelming, but I want to say, keep your eye on the prize. Look up at the one who has called you.